Right on. Thank you, guys. All right, you can grab a seat. Welcome again. I'm Randy, one of the leaders here at Adventure Church, and glad that you have chosen to hang out with us today. We can go ahead and bring up some of the lights so that I can see you. You can see me. It works out great that way. On Communion Sundays, it's our tradition to take a special offering, and the ushers are going to come forward now to do that. But this offering is called the Benevolent Offering, and it goes into a fund that is just distributed for people who have needs, could use a few extra bucks to make their power bill or mortgage, or they're between jobs. And so if you have a little bit of extra to help out with them, that would be great. I'm going to pray for that and for our time this morning in God's Word, and then we're going to dive in. So let's pray. Jesus, unless you build the house, we labor in vain. And so, Lord, I ask that you would come and build the house this morning. Lord, that you would speak and move through everything that's shared today. Lord, that you would move it to where you want it to go. That you would build in your people, in me, what you want this morning. And Lord, we don't want to labor in vain. And so we ask for your presence to come. Holy Spirit, would you? We know you're here, Lord, but we want to taste of you. We want to say, come, open my heart to what you want to say to me. If your heart just even cries out, Lord, I want more than just a church attendance experience. I want to hear from you. Would you just say that to him in your heart right now? Just tell him, I want more, Lord. I want something deep in me wants to encounter you, experience you, have my eyes open to you, so come. Lord, thanks for blessing us. Thanks for being so generous with us financially and all the different ways that you've blessed us. Lord, we want to give back to you and give to those who are in need now. I pray that you'd use these funds to further your kingdom, Lord, to bless and to meet the needs of those who are in need. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and take that, guys. And while that's going around, to kick us off, I want to look at a film clip from the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson. And so the clip sort of speaks for itself. I want to show it and then just talk a little bit about it at the end. So let's roll that. Kill the lights here and get it going. pretty hardcore, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Every one of us has a calling. But not all choose to go. Not all choose to move into their calling, to step into it. Augustine said that without God, we cannot. But without us, God will not. What's he saying? I think what he's saying here is that God seems to only want to go if we go with him, right? He calls Moses, I want you to go rescue my people. I want you to go with me to rescue my people. And Moses says in Exodus 3, I don't want to go. I can't speak. I don't want to go. Send someone else. And you know the story. God says, oh, okay. I didn't realize you didn't want to go. I'll find somebody who wants to go. Right? What does he say? You're going. You're going, right? Yeah, God says go. He wants him to go. Yeah, God knows the best thing for Moses and the best thing for the kingdom of God is for Moses to move into his calling. And God knows the best thing for you and the best thing for the kingdom of God is for you to move into yours. Jonah, call to fight for and rescue these people in Nineveh. God cares about these people in Nineveh. And he heads out to sea. Maybe he thinks someone else will do it. And, you know, God doesn't say, oh, well, yeah, if you don't want to obey your calling, okay. You know, I didn't realize that. I'll get Zedekiah. He'll do it. You know, he says, your calling is for you to do. God is the hound of heaven. Romans tells us that God's gifts and his call are what? Irrevocable. Right? So if I don't obey, if I don't go, if I don't fulfill my calling, then I believe that it just doesn't get done. Much more depends on you than you might think. We've been talking about calling, both it being both universal calling and unique, both broad in the sense that we all are called to some of the same things and very individual. He calls Moses, he calls Jonah, and they receive their unique callings, their unique assignments through an encounter with God. And finding one's unique calling and unique assignment often comes through an encounter, some kind of encounter with God. I've asked Ezra to come up. Ezra, would you come on up, grab a chair? And I've asked him to come up and share a little bit about how he has received a very unique calling and what happened. He had an encounter with the Lord with that. And now he has written a book and has led several men's conferences and spoken to hundreds of men to help them find freedom from addiction to pornography through finding their identity and their strength. And so, Ezra, first of all, what were you doing before you moved into your calling, and what in the world has gotten you here?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I love it. I mean, just if I'm brutally honest, you know, 6 years ago, I was cleaning windows, doing some construction, and honestly just warming one of the seats, you know. If you would have told me then that, you know, today you'll be speaking to a group of people about freedom from pornography, and you'll be really excited to be doing that, you know, I would have told you you're crazy. I wouldn't, you know, it was totally outside my world. you know, I the reason it was so far outside my world is that, you know, from the time I was 14 until 6 years ago, pornography was literally a nearly a daily battle for me, most of which I lost. And I was convinced of two things for certain. One was that I would always struggle. I mean, it's not like I wanted to keep looking, but I felt like I didn't have a choice, almost. And I was just convinced I would always struggle. And the other conclusion I had, I knew this for sure, for absolutely 100% positive, I was the only guy dealing with this. Because in all my years of church, I had never had a conversation about it. And so that changed because of two things. One, the investment in my life of a guy who is now my good friend, who was like actually for the first time willing to have a conversation, a real conversation as a man, not a don't do this conversation that's entirely unhelpful. And the other thing that happened is I started to pursue God in a way that we talk about at Adventure, that is walking with God, is hearing from God. And, you know, when I hear from God, it isn't like an audible voice. It's just that small, still voice in my heart. And, you know, in April of 2006, I was sitting on a rock outside of Leavenworth. And I was asking God, because I was going to be speaking to some men, and I was asking him, what do you want me to talk about? And I wrote in my journal, I remember hearing the word unbound and being entirely confused because that meant nothing to me. And I remember, I was looking at my journal yesterday, there's these three giant question marks after the word. And I remember thinking, what's that? And the next four pages in my journal are the core concepts of the ministry that today, they're the concepts that are the book. Everything that is unbound was written down on that rock. But of course I wasn't entirely convinced that it was me who was supposed to do it. this is great stuff, you know? Who's going to teach it?
Send someone else.
Yeah. And you know, about 3 months later, I was at a different retreat in Colorado. Thank you, bro. Again, sitting on a rock, which is like my total favorite place to pursue God. And we were doing an exercise kind of similar to a couple weeks ago where we talked about a name, or God, how do you see me? You know, maybe give me just a glimpse of who you think I am. And I remember this, I kept having this picture popping into my head that was like this kind of Old Testament scene, like these rocky desert, and there's this one dude in, you know, older guy, gray, long gray hair flowing, kind of riding across the desert in a chariot. And I'm thinking of that, and I'm like, I do not know what this is about, but okay, God, are you trying to say, like, that I'm Ben-Hur? You know, and I'm going to be like, you know what I mean? Literally, that was the first thing. And I'm thinking, no, that's not resonating. And so I'm just kind of leaning into it, God, what are you trying to say? And I felt like I heard him say, Moses. And I actually laughed out loud because I thought, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And I said, I remember writing in my journal, really? And then I'll never forget the response for the rest of my life. It just, with as much conviction as I've ever heard anything, you know, that still small voice in my heart said, yes, because you will lead my sons from slavery into freedom. And I knew. It was like, and that was 4 years ago, and I know for this season in my life, I don't know if it's 10 years or the rest of my life, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that is what I am uniquely called to do.
Right on.
So.
Right. Well, tell us what you're doing. Tell us what is Unbound Ministries at this point. I'm sure it's ever morphing,
yes,
and growing, but what's going on?
Yeah, well, so Unbound Ministries is, I think I would want you to hear three things, just a little bit of context before I talk about what we do. I want you to hear three things from me this morning. One, the struggle for freedom, okay, the fight against pornography is a battle that every single man will fight every day of his life until he is blind or dead. I have a whole two-hour message about why that's true, and we just look at Genesis. God wired men to be visual. And that's why this whole pornography thing doesn't fit into all the boxes of programs and tips and techniques that are most of the books out there. Okay, so one, we've got to understand that. The mission statement of Unbound is the relentless pursuit of freedom from pornography. Because it's a pursuit, it's a journey. You know, it's not like we become a Christ follower and everything is easy and we're all done. It's a journey that lasts our entire life, and this is a piece of it. Two, I want what you should hear from me is that real freedom is really possible. Not some kind of weird gimmick or, you know, there's programs out there that are like 30 days to purity, 90 days to purity, or, you know, come to this meeting on Friday nights for the rest of your life. And that doesn't sound like freedom to me. I'm talking about, am I still tempted because I'm a man? Of course, right? But the battle looks nothing like it once did. I know what's down that road. It's gotten to the point for me, guys, honestly, it's not even that interesting, right? That's the kind of freedom that's possible. And three, freedom, that kind of freedom, starts with a conversation. I was really struck with Mel Gibson's words when he said something effective of mark this. This battle will not be fought in some foreign land or distant battlefield. And folks, the battle for pornography 50 years ago was fought in some distant, seedy district of town. Okay, or some store that had a few things behind the counter. Let me walk you through what the battle is like today in this world. Okay? By the average age that a boy first sees pornography is between 7 and 9 years old. And 95% of the time, it's because he was innocently searching for something else on the computer and saw it. Okay? 55% of adolescent boys are purposefully looking for pornography on at least a weekly basis. And I hate to tell you guys, but they're not looking on the computer that you've already put a filter on in your house. They're looking for it at Grandma and Grandpa's house, at Uncle Joe's house. Okay, they're looking for it. Do you know where your youth are finding it? On their personal wireless device. Okay, their iTouch or their iPhone. Are you aware that 25% of all searches from mobile devices, 1 in 4 are for pornography? Last year, a survey was done of college residence assistants, 3,000 of them, okay, across the country. And they were asked to rate how the men in their dormitories are doing. This is secular and Christian combined. The average answer to the question, what percentage of your men are struggling with online porn? The average answer was 90%. Okay, 1 in 2 married Christian men who regularly attend church are struggling with porn every day. In the last 5 years, I can see you're just like this, right? I mean, I am sorry to do this to you, but I'm kind of not. In the last 5 years, 50% of the marriages in the United States ended in divorce. And of those marriages that ended in divorce, 56% cited excessive use of porn as a primary contributing factor. So we are not living in Generation X or Generation Y. We are living in Generation Porn. It's the greatest modern-day tragedy that our culture has created. The culture, the media of the United States, right? If you look generationally at what people believe, the World War I generation was about 65% Bible-based believers. And what that means is they actually believed like what it said in the Bible, the words were true. Absolutely. Right? So I saw a billboard on a church. This is like a local church just up the street, like literal, figurative up the street. And it said, we take the Bible seriously, not literally. 35% of baby boomers believe in the concept of absolute moral truth. in today's world, 83% of teenagers think that moral truth depends on the circumstances. And so we are living in a culture where the primary conversation that is taking place with men, with boys, is no problem. I mean, you don't have to not find porn, you have to be a hermit with no electricity running to your house and no cell phone. It's at the checkout counter. I mean, what is available on network primetime TV, right, used to not be available. It is everywhere. And so what has happened is this great legitimization of porn. Right? I don't know if you knew this, but last week there's a group called ICANN, which is kind of the real estate agent of the internet, and they decide who gets what real estate on the internet, because the internet is divided horizontally into like .coms and .nets that everybody can have, but it's also divided vertically where you have to be a specific something to get one of those names, and those would be like .gov, right, reserved for state, local, federal government in the U.S. .edu, responsible, you know, education. Or you could be a sovereign nation, right? You get your own slice, like .ca is Canada. Or, as of last week, alongside government, education, and sovereign nations is .xxx, right? The pornography industry carved out. The issue isn't that. There's already 500 million porn sites. Another 100 million isn't going to matter. Okay, the filter blocks that out. The issue is that just happened. The issue is you and I are part of a culture where the only people talking are the people who want more. So what we're passionate about at Unbound Ministries is let's start a real conversation about this topic. Because freedom starts with a conversation. It starts one man at a time, one boy at a time. That's what it looks like. That's where the journey begins.
Right on, man.
So,
cool. How can we get involved?
Yeah. So, start the conversation. I am convinced that you, your family, will have a very serious conversation about pornography at some point. And my question for you is: would you like to wait until it's a crisis conversation, or would you like to start talking about it before it gets there? My son is 8. Now, I haven't had really in-depth conversations about it with him, but honestly, I can't wait, because I want that kind of relationship with him where we could talk about pornography and everything that goes along with it at a real meaningful level. So a couple of us are going to be up in this corner here. If you don't have a book yet, buy a book. Gals, I'm sorry, you may never get this because you're a gal and it's about guys. But the number one comment women tell me after they read the book is they walk up to me and they go like this: I had no idea. I had no idea. And when you read the chapter that my wife wrote, it's going to blow your mind. Guys, I don't know if this is your issue or not. If it is, then you know why you need to read the book. If it's not, do you know why you need to read it? So that when your buddy calls you in a week and goes, oh, I need to talk, you have some concept of what he's dealing with. Right, dads? I could go on and on. There's lots of ways to get involved. Come sign up. We have monthly updates, weekly updates. If you want to know about events we're doing, we're going to be next door talking to the youth. If you're a parent, you might want to mark next Sunday after second service. I think that's what PJ sent the email out. Then you're going to find out what we're going to talk to them about. I'm going to be talking to the high school boys. It's going to be awesome. We're talking about doing a father-son retreat this fall. Talk about I can see some fear right now, right? But again, we want to know, we're also interested in knowing what you want and how we can continue this conversation of freedom.
Right on.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. Wow, that's cool. Neat stuff. It's been awesome to watch Ezra get his heart back, hear from the Lord, move into his calling, very unique calling, and then watching it expand and grow. When the book got completed and published, it opened lots of doors for speaking, and it's continued to open doors for speaking and conferences and things like that. So stay tuned to what's going to happen with Unbound. But yeah, our callings are both unique callings, right? Individual callings that God is specifically going to draw you to, show you in your name, in you seeking Him. Who am I? Where do I fit into your large story? And it's also very universal. We have universal callings. Ephesians 4 says it was He, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, unique calling, some to be prophets, unique calling, some to be evangelists and pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for universal calling. All of us. Works of service so that this could be built up. All of us are called by God to be serving to build up the body of Christ. Universal calling. So we have unique calling, universal calling. Now, it seems to me that few are functioning in either. Or maybe that's too strong. Not 50% or less. Sorry, 50% or more are neither functioning in the universal calling, stepping into their universal calling, nor their unique individual calling. Why do you think that is? Why don't people move into their calling? Fear. Fear of what? Okay, fear of failure. If I step out, I'll fall on my face. Good, I agree, huh? Fear of the struggle it's going to create? What other people will think. If I start a ministry about pornography, good night. I mean, what others might think. I might fail. I'll step out and fall on my nose. What are other reasons why people don't move? They don't know how. Man, the what? They don't know what to do. Okay, maybe I'm supposed to serve in this area. Well, what? How do I do that? I don't know. Okay, good. Other reasons? Yes. Yeah, it's interesting. One of the most convicting passages in the Bible is Philippians 2. Listen to what Paul says. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for what? And not those of Jesus Christ. I mean, how does that land? I mean, I read that and I'm convicted. I notice when I read that how much it's about me. My time, my family. I've got 7 kids. I'm a parent. I can't move out into calling. All the reasons are about me. Any other reasons? Other reasons why people don't move? Yeah. Not enough time. I am so busy that I can't. Yeah, and we organize our lives again around me or my family and my pursuits. And so investing in others, taking genuine interest in other people's welfare and moving on it is, when would I do that? Right? Yeah, but stepping into your calling and serving others is actually very life-giving. Jesus said, if a man seeks to save his own life, he'll what? He'll lose it. But if he lays his life down for my sake, he'll what? Gain it. Yeah. Whether it's your unique calling or universal calling, a couple things are required. Surrender and action. Have to surrender and say, okay, I'm willing to talk to people about pornography. I'm willing to step out. I'm willing to lay down those things. That fear, I got to surrender that I might fail. I might step out and fail. Failure is a great teacher. you need to step out, and you probably will fail, and then you'll learn next time you'll do it, and you probably will fail less, and then you'll become very successful if you keep moving. But you have to surrender to step out. Surrendering when it comes to what others might think, multitude of things. Surrendering when it comes to the warfare that will come against you if you step out into your calling, if you step out and serve to build up the body of Christ. Surrender is required, and also stepping out. You have to step out. You have to make a move. You have to be a doer of the word. I looked up a bunch of passages. Basically, I looked up all the passages in the New Testament that use the word calling, call, called, anything that, and I took out the ones that said, you know, and his name, he was called Mark, you know, those sorts of ones. But the ones that referred to calling, and I looked at all of them, and I have a sampling of them. Let's play a little game here. You tell me if this is universal calling or unique individual calling. All right, so we'll start with Romans 1:7. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Universal. A saint is a holy one, or one who follows Christ, is pure. We're all called to be holy. 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church of God in Corinth, those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. Universal, unique. Universal, holy is to be like Jesus, to live like Jesus. You and I are called to live like Jesus lived. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Universal or unique? You are called into intimate fellowship and connection with Jesus. You are called to walk with Jesus on a regular basis, daily. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Universal, unique? Universal. We are meant to live a life of peace. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, 1 Peter says, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. Universal or unique? What's the calling to? Suffering. Suffering. Jesus suffered for you and me. And so He calls us to follow Him, even if it means suffering. Universal. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Unique. That was the only one I could find. Now, there are lots of other examples of unique callings. Jonah, Moses, they're all through Scripture. But as far as the word called and calling and call in the New Testament, that's the only one. So I think the point we can take from this is we're called to some things broadly that we need to get about doing. Ephesians 4 says that we're called to do works of service to build up the body of Christ. There's things that are in your calling. You are all called by God. We're called by God to do some things and step out in them. And it's going to take surrender, and it's going to take action to do it. You're working about talking about pornography and rescuing people. Whether you'd be going to, you're going to the Philippines to rescue broken children, as we heard about 2 weeks ago, that the Robbies are doing, or you're going to Africa to fly to build churches throughout Africa, like Joel and Arena are doing, or you're serving to build up the body of Christ. We all have a calling. And so what I want to encourage you is, sometimes that calling will come very dramatically.
You're Moses.
It does. I mean, sometimes it does. Don't wait for that to get about moving into your calling. Don't wait for that to get about moving into your universal calling. Sometimes God will wait to give you that, you know, that big explosion, skyrocket thing, because He wants to see if you'll be faithful in the smaller, the more universal, the more right now. Can I trust you to serve me? Can I trust you to clean toilets if it's needed? He takes the toilet cleaners and makes them the apostles and the, you know what I mean, the prophets. He takes the ones that are willing to really prove themselves faithful in the little things to entrust them with the big things. So it's critical when you're thinking about your calling. So, men, beginning this Wednesday, we are going to go deeper into finding your unique calling. We're going to go and tackle it quite seriously on Wednesdays. It's not so much come and get study as much as it's a come and dig in and dive in. We're going to go out and spend time with the Lord alone on Wednesday nights and come back and share what happened. We're going to ask the Lord questions. All right, guys, go. We're going to do different kinds of exercises to help identify your strengths, your giftings, your passions. I hope, guys, that you have an appetite for that and would come on Wednesday night and join us this coming week. 6:30, dinner's provided. And so also, kind of before we close, I want to share with you a little bit about where we're going as a church in the next few months. Okay? I'm pretty excited about what's coming. Beginning next week and to the next 3 weeks up to Easter, I feel like God has specifically spoken as I've been praying about what He wants us to talk about. I want you to talk about seeking my face, inquiring of the Lord. It fits really well within what we've been talking about. We've been in a series on restoring your heart. What does it mean to get your heart back? And all the stuff that gets in the way, the shield we put up, all the false self, all the stuff that we need to strip away, repent of, so we can have the true identity God has for us, so we can move into our calling and bring the weight of our lives to this planet for His kingdom. And now He wants us to talk about His leadership. What does it look like to seek His face? All through the Old Testament, there's this phrase you see, so-and-so inquired of the Lord. King so-and-so inquired of the Lord, over and over again. We're going to do a series about that. And so that's coming up till Easter. I want to encourage you, since I brought up Easter, would you ask God to bring to your mind who you can invite, neighbor, coworker, somebody to come to Easter? I was down at the Debbie and I were down at Twin Dragon, and we popped out, and a couple from the bar, from the softball team, came out, and they're like, they came to the dessert theater and they haven't been back since. We're coming to Easter. And then the gal was like, you know, I thought about it. You know, I could go to church other than Christmas and Easter. I mean, the dawn was coming up. It was really amazing, but it was like my mind went, that's where folks are. But I mean, and she was like, I might come. We might come between Easter and now, you know. So it was like anyway, so that's coming. Be praying for who you can bring to Easter, and then where we're going to go after Easter is going to be a little bit different. So I want to show you. We have been feeding your heart, and now we want to feed your head a little bit. After Easter, we're beginning a 4-month study to equip you in terms of knowing what and why you believe. You need to not be ignorant to what you believe, and you need to have confidence to defend what you believe. And so we're going to be beginning a series after Easter entitled, The Truth Is. And to help us know the importance of that, we're going to show a clip. This is from MSNBC This Week. Okay? It's a little interview.
Has ignited a theological firestorm by suggesting that our response to the Christian suggesting that our response to the Christian message in this life will not necessarily determine our eternity.
We're repeating it. No problem. Are there answers? Is God all powerful but he doesn't care, or is he really care and he's not all powerful? Does our decision to have faith in Christ, is it relevant? Does our decision to follow Christ now determine our eternal destiny? Whether someone will go to heaven or hell, is there a hell? Could God be loving and send people to hell? There are real answers to these questions. Ones that are not vague, unclear, subject to my opinion. Are there absolutes? Meaning truth that is true regardless of whether I believe it or not. Well, those questions and more will be answered in our series coming up called The Truth Is. So we've been feeding your heart. We want to tackle some of these questions and go after your head and have them both firing, okay, on all cylinders. So another announcement I want to talk to you about just a bit is last fall, we felt like God led our elder board team to hire a couple additional staff, adult ministry staff. And we specifically heard the Lord, just, Lord, who, what, do you really want us to do this? We specifically heard the Lord tell us, yes, hire Jeff Hansen and Jonathan Kobayashi. And so we did. Now, at that time, there was about $2,000 a month in our monthly budget that was available to pay the $5,000 a month that we needed to hire those guys. And so we were like, Lord, what do we do with that? And he said, tell my people that this is my will and that they have the opportunity to make my will come true or not through their obedience. And we did. And you guys rocked. I mean, every month we have brought in exactly what we needed. Never before in our history, but exactly what we needed. That additional $3,000 to $5,000 that we needed came in until March. March has been a little bit of a tight month. Typically in the spring, there's a skinny month. Seems like that's March. And so I just wanted to make you aware of it. $16,000 needs to come in today or by the end of the month to end March in the black. In the past, we have said, well, if the money's not coming in, then God must want us to let staff go. And we've done that in the past. And you guys got angry with us when we did that and said, don't ever do that. Tell us first. So we're telling you that that's what's going on. And so I just want to invite you to pray. What's my role? Now, if I want to speak to those of you who call Adventure Home. If you call Adventure Home and you have not yet decided to be a giver, I mean more than like tipping the church on a Sunday, that if the message was good, I put in a 20, kind of a tip, you know, thing, but actually giving a percentage of your income like Scripture would teach us. Just want you to know, all of your elders, all of your the leaders of Adventure, all follow the scriptural example of 10% of our income, and we want to obey God, and we think that when we obey God, we've found that the 90% goes way farther than the 100 ever did. And so I want to encourage you, would you ask the Lord, if that's not you, if you haven't made that decision yet to follow the Lord there, to follow him there. It's the only place in Scripture where he says, test me. Test me in this. See if I don't take care of you. So I just want to encourage you with that, challenge you with that, if that applies to you. And then the last couple things. We have been taking a special offering for Japan and relief efforts there. We have today, and there's a box in the back that says Japan. We're going to invite you to give to that today, and then next week, and then whatever comes in, we'll announce to you the following week what came in as our gift to Japan and the relief effort there. So that's available to you. Also, if you have not taken if you weren't here last week and you didn't get the database questionnaire, we're updating the database so we can do new directories. Would you raise your hand? Slip up your hand. Okay, we're going to have ushers are going to bring out. Keep your hand up. We're going to hand out. They're right on the soundboard back there. We're going to hand out these deals. So just as the guys are coming up, just put your hand up. We need those. If you would do those questionnaires, fill them out, throw them in the basket in the back. That will help us get. We have wrong phone numbers for people. We have wrong addresses. You've moved. We're just updating the database. You're not going to get junk mail. You're not going to get put on a spam list or anything like that. So, and then the last thing I want to share with you is Children's is recruiting for summer and fall. And I have asked Cindy something. This is a little bit of a housekeeping thing here, but some folks have gotten into sort of a habit of, if I'm going to serve in Children's a quarter, I'm just going to do Children's. I'm not going to come to service. I've asked her to, other than an emergency situation, to ask people who are doing that to not continue to serve. Because what we found is that folks get disconnected. They're an entire quarter not coming to service. And they get disconnected. They don't feel connected in relationships. And those folks typically end up leaving. It's a terrible thing to do to your spiritual life. You're not connecting. You're not hearing what is really happening, where we're going. It just will cream you. The enemy will come in. And also, it's not a good example for us to set for the kids. And so we want to just ask in the future, just kind of letting you know, if she tells you this is the requirement, you need to be going to, you need to serve 1 hour and go to another, that you can, I'm the bad guy here, not Cindy, all right? So you can come after me about that. So anyway, let me pray for us, and we'll let you go. Jesus, thank you for, you are amazing. Lord, you have restored, you've been restoring hearts. And you've been calling people into their calling. And Lord, you're rescuing broken children in the Philippines and sending Joel and Lorena to Africa and Ezra to fight for men and restore them and bring them freedom. And Lord, so many other things, so many other stories we could bring up and share about, because you, Jesus, are restoring hearts, setting people free to live in your favor. Lord, you are calling us to become oaks of righteousness and display your splendor. And Lord, it's happening. Thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing. You rock. You're awesome. And Lord, we love you. And Lord, we want to serve you. We want to serve you. We want that intimacy with you, but Lord, I also want to bow my knee and serve you. You are worthy. You are my King, my leader, my Lord. Lord, pray that you would bring the folks that you want to come to Easter, Lord, that you'd put in our hearts and minds the faces of people that we need to invite and bring. And then, Lord, with summer and fall children, Lord, would you raise up folks that maybe they've never done it before, but and maybe that there's some fear, I'll fail or all that. But, Lord, would you raise up your leaders, Lord, not people to fill a slot, but people to fight for kids' hearts that go in with that kind of heart. And Jesus, we commit this place to you. You are the Lord and the Lord of adventure. I pray that you would just take us in. Take us deeper. Lord, as we look into inquiring of you, seeking your face, Lord, would you bring encounters, experiences with you that transform lives. Pray all these things, Lord, in your name. We commit ourselves to you. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. Here with books and information if you'd like to talk to him more.